Good morning. Glad you're here today. What a great day it is to be in the house of the Lord, isn't it? Amen.
Amen.
Well, you just got a taste of what it feels like to have church online again. Oh, I didn't say that out loud, did I? That's a terrible thought, isn't it? But anyways, I'm so glad that you're here today. What a joy it is for us to be together and to worship together. We have a thing that is called a digital connection card. You can scan the code. You can see those throughout the church in different places, or you can use that one right there. This is our way of letting you know that you are here, but letting us know that you are here, but also gives us an opportunity to pray for you. So if there is something that you would like me to be praying for this week, you can utilize this, and you can be sure that I will be praying for you in that way. We have a number of things that are going to be talked about today. A couple of them are going to be going on the screen behind me as I'm talking. They're just going to flash up there. Those are your reminders, like our information about our socials, how to tithe here at Living Hope, but then also a reminder about the Tuesday and Thursday morning prayer time that happens at 7 a.m. every Tuesday and Thursday. Even when people are gone because they're doing vacation or things like that, like I have most of the summer, other people are praying and they're making sure that that it's available. So it happens, and we just invite you to join with us and be in prayer for that. If you haven't figured it out yet, we are moving right into the new season of stuff that's happening here at Living Hope. We have a couple more weeks until things start getting busy with kids ministries, youth ministries, and life groups and things of that nature. And a couple of things need to happen between now and then. If you have, if you are a parent that has kids in our youth ministry or our children's ministry, we invite you to go out the door and then turn right, and there is a table just right outside the sanctuary that gives you all the registration forms to sign up, get your kids included, get the schedules for what is happening this next year, and so that you are all ready to have them go and be a part of the different things that are going on. So along those lines, fill those out, and if you picked one up last week, you can hand that directly to me, and I will make sure that it gets to the proper places. Something for our teens that is very important for you to be aware of is that the youth kickoff event is happening on August 30th right here at the church at 6:30, and we invite kids and teens, not kids, teens and parents and families to join in on that night. It's a fun night. I heard that kickball is involved, and that's always a blast. As long as you don't pull a hammy, everything is good after that. Also along those lines, the Hope Kids first night is going to be happening on September 6th. So what day is that? September 6th. All of you heard that. Way to go. Proud of you. So be aware of that. And then along those lines, the Parents Life Group is going to start meeting as well. And those are going to be a little bit different this year. So if you are, have been, or will continue to be in the Parents Life Group, I encourage you to talk with your leaders about when those nights are going to happen. Also, our kids, our Hope Kids program is in need of snacks. And if you would like to help to provide snacks for those evenings that the kids are here, there's an opportunity for you to sign up in the window of the kitchen and to sign up to be ready to bring in snacks. That is a very important thing for Hope Kids. So thank you for doing that. And they appreciate it because they look forward to snack more than you realize. So thank you. You are doing a great service to these children. Speaking of all of that, it is time for our kids as they kind of go back to school of all. So our elementary, middle school, high school ages. We have college students that are heading to college. Most of them are already there. And our homeschool families are also prepping and gearing up for this fall season. With that in mind, I want to give you an opportunity to watch a video and to kind of get you aware of back to school type stuff. So let's watch this video.
Hello, friends. Can you believe it's that time of year again to gather those supplies and tackle that last minute back to school shopping list? Oh no, don't open those, I need to return them. As moms, Melinda and I understand that the beginning of a new school year can be bittersweet.
Oh, you were serious?
Yeah,
bittersweet.
For those moms who really treasure those wonderful bonding experiences that the summer months allow.
I wanted the water park. I had a theme going.
Well, Rachel, that is how the game's played.
Yeah, but he just wants it because I want it. He already has all the racetracks.
Now she's gonna pout like a girl.
Graham, uncalled for. Apologize.
Rachel, I'm sorry that you're a girl.
Even the family mealtime during the slower pace of summer can...
Oh, can you pass me that blue?
I told you not to.
Thanks. Go ahead, you were saying something about the summer meal plan or...
No, I was saying that summer really allows for some in-depth dinner conversation.
And that's God's perfect plan for how a family of two become a family of three and four.
Okay, who's ready for some cookies?
Summer is also a time to encourage your kids to develop lasting relationships, true friends that they can count on during the school year. I know my kids like to hang out at Melinda's house. Melinda, I bet you always have a spare kid running around, huh?
Yep. They come and go like flies.
Well, I don't know. How many are going to stay for dinner? We have been robbed! Call 911! Hey, call 911!
The point is that whether it's during the summer months or the school year, any time with your children is a great opportunity to teach them about what's most important. If you don't, others will. Do you have any advice for us?
Oh, I pray a lot.
Well said, Melinda. Let's all commit to pray for our children and for the new school year. You know you're gonna have to clean all this up.
Glitter gets everywhere, and that's just horrible. Oh, my goodness. On a serious note, let's take some time and pray for not only the kids, but families, and then also the staff that are at the schools that they're a part of. Parents is there preparing the homeschool stuff, and I don't understand all that stuff because my brain doesn't work that way, but I know that they are in the midst of a lot of planning and prepping, and so let's be praying for them. So let's join in together and pray. Father God, we are so very grateful that we have an opportunity such as this to come before you this morning and to offer to you and to lay at your feet the upcoming school year of all sorts. God, you are an ever-present help when we are in need. That is part of who you are, and we just come before you and we ask, Lord, that you would not only be with our kids as they go back to school, but we ask that you be with parents, we be with families, be with the staff and the teachers and all that comes along with that. Lord, we know that in the world that we're a part of right now, there just seems to be so much going on in the learning process that is heavy. And there's situations that we just don't quite understand and grasp because they're beyond us when it comes to the involvement of various different areas of life. But we know that there is goodness that is done in the school system, in the homeschool networks, and all of that, God. We know that. But we just want to pray that your hand of mercy would be upon the kids, upon the teachers and the staff members, upon parents, upon families. Because, God, without your hand upon them, without your divine guidance, and without your work in all of these areas, Lord, it would be very difficult for us, for them. And so we ask, God, that you would strengthen the children, strengthen the kids that are a part of Living Hope, that as they go back to school, that they will not only be able to be a blessing to those that are around them, but that they will be able to be a witness, that they will be able to stand strong in their faith, that when there's opportunities to share you, that they will happen. But Lord, if those opportunities aren't necessarily seen in the eyes of our young people, we also just ask, Lord, that their lives will be lived in such a way that they, their character, their love for you will be seen. And Lord, we pray for the staff and the teachers and the principals and the administration of the schools in our community. Lord, they need your leading as well. We pray that they will be prepared for what is coming, that they will be able to lead in such a ways that not only will they just be a blessing, but they will be able to be mind and life shapers for good. And Lord, for those that are believers, they are shaping other students to see your face through them. And we pray that that would be able to happen, God. Lord, we know that the school day is a long day, but that's not beyond your vision and not beyond your sight. We pray for teachers to be able to lead and educate. We just are so grateful for what you do, Father. Be with them. Be with all of them, from the very young kids to our college students and everybody in between. God, as we worship today, will you be the focus of our day, the focus of our, not just our, but everything that we do today as a day of worship. May you be the focus of who we are today. God, you are so good, and we thank you for all that you do in us and through us. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Another thing that I wanted to take some time this morning to talk about is that we are going to be beginning a sermon series in September that is going to be designed and helpful for us as a church because we're going to be jumping into a series that is called One at a Time. And along these lines, what we're going to be studying is during Sunday mornings, we're going to be having sermons that are designed around this book. We're going to be giving opportunities for everyone, if they would like to purchase a copy of this book. And then we're also going to be utilizing life groups to be talking about this study as well. Next Sunday, we are going to be making the books available for you. If you would like to purchase them, they'll be $10. That's a donation. And if you can't make the $10, that's fine. The book is yours. Utilize it, and it's our gift to you. But it's an opportunity for us as a church to be all in together in this study. And I really do believe that it's going to be well worth our time. You see, all of us, I think, want to make a difference in the world. No one plans on wasting their life. Kyle Eidelman, who wrote the book, he says this: nobody grows up dreaming of waking up, going to work, heading home, watching Netflix or scrolling through social media, and then doing it all over again the very next day until their last breath. We all want to change the world. We all want to impact the world. And we don't want to spend our time being time wasters or space takers, or binge watchers, or game players, or even book readers. We want to be difference makers. And I think he's right. I think we all have that innate desire within us to be difference makers. What we may not know is how. How should we go about being a difference maker? Or how do we measure whether or not we're making a difference? And in our culture, our tendency is to measure things by quantity. In other words, how big is it? How many friends do I have? How many likes have my posts received on my social media? How much money have I acquired? How much power do I have? And how high is my rung on the social status ladder? It's all about how many and how much. But I think there's a better way for us to think about this, to look at, and that is to look at the life of Jesus. For all these things, we can't look at them as things that Jesus did, because Jesus never had any of these quantifying things that we talk about in today's world. But nobody has ever made the difference that Jesus made in the world. Think about it for just a moment. Jesus has made the biggest difference in our world more than any other person in life. So how did he do it? What we're going to be talking about over that 6-7 week period is that and how Jesus made a difference. How did he do it? What did he go about? How was his thought process? What was it all about? And I'm excited that we are going to be taking this time to look at the life of Jesus and get an idea of how he did these things, because if we take them and we apply them to our lives after looking at his life, I believe that we will be able to make a difference in our community, in our church as well, but in society as a whole. And I believe that we can do it. So I have been praying for this series for a while now, and I would invite you to join me in prayer for this series and our story that we're going to be looking at in the life of Jesus, but then also praying that we will jump into this with both feet and take every opportunity that we have to not just learn, but to apply what we learn to our lives. And I think that will make a big difference. So in the next couple of weeks, this is what I need you to be thinking about. Make a decision to be here every Sunday. Make a decision to join a life group. And make a decision to engage in this entire process. And I think that you will be blessed along the way. Now, if you're thinking, well, hold on a minute. I am in a life group. I have been in a life group. And will my life group be going through this study? More than likely, yes. Most of our groups are planning on continuing and jumping right into this study as we start during the week of September 10th. And so I'm excited about that. if you're thinking, wait a minute, I don't have a group or I'm not in a life group, your best bet scenario is to, I just said bet in church, that is horrible. Your best opportunity to join a life group is to do one of two things. Talk to me directly and say, I would like to be in a life group. Can you fit me in with one? Or using the QR code that we have been using for a while now, at the very bottom of that scanned in area, you will notice that there is a section that says comments. Right there, you can say, I would like to be in a life group. And that is an easy way for you to let me know that you would like to be in a life group. Then I can connect you with leaders so that you can join and be a part of one. Or maybe you're thinking, huh, I can lead a life group for 6 to 7 weeks. Let me know about that as well. I can lead a life group because I believe that we're going to need some additional leaders. So if that's you, let's jump on board and let's do this, okay? Everybody good with that? Fantastic. Didn't give you an opportunity to reply positively or negatively because we're just all jumping right on board, okay? So we are in, turning a corner here, we're in the last week of our series, Tell Me or Tell Your Story. And we talked about it last week that God's story is an amazing story. We love reading his story in the Bible, don't we? What's your favorite one? Tell someone nearby you. You got about 5 seconds to be able to tell what is your favorite Bible story. Ready, go. Okay, time's up. Did anybody say, I love the story of Balaam and the donkey? Yes. All right. Fantastic. That's a really cool story. There's other stories that are in the Bible that are so amazing. And we have to remember that stories matter. We love being told stories. We love a really good story. We like to feel the emotion that comes along with it, whether it's the happy emotions or the sad emotions, or maybe it's the things that are just funny. But we like a good story. And in this series, what we've been really been focusing in on is that while we're giving people an opportunity to share their story with you, my challenge has been that you start working on your story, not to make it any better or any different or anything else, no embellishing, but the idea is that you work on your story, you know your story so that you can share your story. It's been a process for us over the last couple of months where we've been talking about a few things that are just really kind of leading us up to where God has been really guiding us over the last couple of months. We've been talking about how we serve and we care for, we love one another. And that's this togetherness that we've been talking about. And then we're talking about our story and we're talking about the importance of us knowing how God has impacted our lives. And it is leading us up to this one at a time type of sermon series in the next couple of weeks so that we realize that there is not only love and compassion that we show to one another and we care for one another, but we know our story so that when we are among people, our eyes are opened and we can care for them and we can share with them our story. So this is not just all happenstance. This is designed because I think God is leading us in this direction that the impact that we are going to be having in our community is done one at a time. And so I'm hoping that you're following along and that you're catching up with what we're trying to accomplish here because I think that's where God is guiding us. And I'm excited about it. So today we're going to give you an opportunity to hear someone else's story. And if you would, please, let's welcome Amanda Rosales to the platform this morning. Welcome. Glad you're here today.
Thank you.
I got a little nervous there for just a smidge when it was this morning, and I hadn't seen you or your family yet, but it was nervousness for like just a little bit. Okay.
Yeah,
that's not your problem. It's just me. It's just me. So I've invited Amanda to come and to share her story about a few different things. We've specifically looked at a couple of things in our series. One, we had Lee and Carrie here sharing with us a couple of weeks ago about how God was faithful in their perseverance and the difficulties that they've experienced just in their family life and the difficulties that have just happened medically. And they shared some really heartwarming and touching stories of God's faithfulness and their perseverance. And last week we had Caleb Brown that was here sharing his story about how God called him to stick to it and how God was also reminding him of what are you doing? Why are you doing this or why are you doing that? And come back to what you're supposed to be doing. And I shared a little bit of my story and how God has been very faithful in putting me in the presence of others and accountability and encouragement and how important that is in our lives. And when I asked Amanda to share, this was back in June, I think it was, when I first approached you about this idea, the thing that I wanted you to share with us is how God has been good in decision-making processes and faithful in those areas. And along those lines, you and your family have had a lot of decisions that have been made over the last few years that have been impactful and have taken you on some journeys. And while Amanda is the one that is sharing, you have to realize that we could involve Jacob in this story. We could involve Jeremiah and Hannah and Nora in this story. But we're giving the microphone to Amanda specifically because eventually you're going to share something that is new and current. And so I want to give you that opportunity. Now, not everybody knows that you and Jacob serve in the Air National Guard. Is that right? Did I get that right?
Yes.
Okay.
Is this okay?
So tell us a little bit about that. Tell us how long you've been doing that. Tell us what, and Jacob as well, and what your roles are.
Okay, so I joined the Air National Guard when I was 17, and that was in November of 2003. And then Jacob joined in October of 2004. So I am a few months away from 20 years in service, and and Jacob will be 20 years next year. So our role, I was trying to figure out how to kind of word this for myself, but if you picture our building kind of like a school, I work in the front office, and I would be like the leader of that group. Although I don't feel like I know as much as everyone in that office, but I am the like supervisor. So that's my role. And then Jacob works in RF transmissions, which is radio frequencies. So.
Oh, very cool. Very cool. Well, thank you for your service, both of you. You guys are an amazing providers of service to our country. So thank you so very much for that. Now, it was a couple of years ago that your family began to make a transition to Florida, and you packed up, and everything went down along those lines, and that was primarily for your role in the National Guard. Mm-hmm. Now, tell us about that process. Tell us why it had to happen. Tell us, give us the big picture, and then tell us how God was faithful in this decision.
Okay. So this decision, it was to become an officer. So if you know anything about the military, you have enlisted people who are able to join right out of high school. And then officers, they need to have a bachelor's degree, or you can go through ROTC in college. So in 2012, I got my college degree, so I was eligible for that. But the only officer positions at my unit were air battle managers, which required like a year of training. And I just was unwilling to like take my family through that. So I really, really stiff-armed it for a long time. And I just remained enlisted, and I was like good with that. But they kept presenting this job opportunity when we came together every drill. And one time when that opportunity was presented, I felt like God was just like, now's the time. I don't know how to explain it. It's kind of like how Caleb was saying God spoke to him. But the Holy Spirit was just revealing to me, like, now's the time. And so I was obedient to that. And I went through the process that I needed to apply, and I got the job. Then I had to leave for 6 weeks to go to Alabama. So this is the part that you don't really, that you, a lot of people might forget. But Jacob was home alone with Jeremiah and Hannah at the time. And they were, Hannah was three, and Jeremiah would have been six or seven. And so, yeah, I left my husband and my kids alone for 6 weeks while I was down training to become an officer.
Wow, and he survived.
Yeah. So what? I just want you to know, like, I have one of, my husband is amazing. He's so supportive. Like, I never have any doubts that if I want to do something or accomplish something, I can go for it. And he's going to have my back and support me. So that's really amazing.
That's awesome. That's fantastic.
Okay.
Yeah, keep going.
Florida.
Yeah.
So then the next part of this process in this job is to go to Florida for 10 months. And so,
now, hold on, let me interrupt you there for just a moment. 10 months. That's a long time to be considering that you have a family and you have to pack up and you have to go. How did you guys have that conversation? Because that's a big life-changing conversation.
So that conversation had to happen before I even went to Alabama.
Okay.
Because it was part of the entire training program.
Mm-hmm.
So, but yeah, that was really a faith thing, I think. Yeah, and I don't know. Jacob is just like, he's like, I'll do it. He's so faithful and loyal. Like, he's just going to do whatever needs to be done. And I am kind of a hard worker, and I'll do the same thing. I don't know. I'm sure there was a lot of prayer that went into it. But like I said, God called me. I was obedient, and I just did it.
Okay.
So I think there's a lot of faith between Jacob and I both, that we had to trust that God was just going to be there. He was going to provide for us. He was going to align things. And he did.
Okay.
It was so, so fluid. So when I was in Alabama, he had to sell, get the house ready to be sold.
Okay.
By himself.
Wow.
With a 3 and 7-year-old. And we decided to do for sale by owner and sold the house in 2 days. So it's like along the way, God just affirmed our decision by making things go so smoothly.
That's
so
awesome.
I don't know if that answers your question, but that's
absolutely, it does. Yeah.
One
yeah.
example.
Okay. Now you're down in Florida for 10 months. How was God faithful in that process? Because that's not an easy thing either.
No. So like normally you would just like go through training and everything would be, you know, 10 months, but I ended up finding out that I was pregnant while I was there. And so,
just so happens.
Yeah. I was like, wow. So I'm pregnant now. So there's a lot of different things that the military can do when you're in training. It depends on the type of training. They can say, hey, we need to put your training on hold and like do it after you have your baby and stuff. But it just so happened, this is a God thing, that my graduation date was the same as my due date. Like the exact same day. My
due date
was January 12th, and our graduation date was January 12th.
Wow.
And I completed training in December, so I completed about my training about a month before the graduation. So That was cool. That was God. Another way that God provided is that he just made sure that we had an income within the gap, because we decided to stay and deliver Nora in Florida. And normally I would have had to come home and not be paid as of December when I finished my training. But they kept me on orders, paid me 12 weeks of maternity leave.
Oh, my.
Yeah. And meanwhile, like while we were in Florida, Jacob wasn't really working full time because he was working remotely. But so, yeah, like God provided that gap of time where we normally would have been without an income. And he provided that. And it was just so like, I don't know, it really strengthened my faith and trust in how God just provides when you need it.
Absolutely. Wow. And that's an amazing thing to put all those things into place. And it just so happens that everything works out pretty well. We never use the coincidence type of conversation because we know that it's always God, right? It just so happens is just another way for us recognizing that it is God that is has his hands deeply into our lives. I love that. So thank you for sharing that. So Nora is born and she's in Florida and all of you are in Florida. She's not by herself. Yeah. That would be, she's an amazing one, but doing that by herself would be amazing in of itself. So,
God.
Yeah, we'll get back to me not being silly. So you guys are planning to then return back to Iowa. Did you ever think, Florida's pretty nice. Maybe we should just stay.
Florida was great, but my training was so hard and stressful. I'll tell you what, we started going to a church there like right away and we created strong bonds and I will forever love those people.
That's awesome. That's good. So for just a little bit, it was like, maybe we should, but we were planning on you guys coming back to Iowa and we were so thankful that you guys did.
Yeah.
So tell us a little bit about just the things and how God was faithful in the return process, because that's not an easy thing to pack up and leave for 10 months, 12 months, and then to do it all over again and come back to the same community. And relocate here. Tell us a little bit about that process.
Okay, so moving is not easy, but I tell you, when we left Iowa, Living Hope was there. And when we left Florida, our church family was there. By the way, we moved when Nora was 2 weeks old. And
was it 2 weeks old?
Yeah, wow, I did not help at all with the move back. But Jacob and our pastor basically filled up the truck and packed it all up. And then when we returned again, Living Hope was there for us, helping us unload and unpack into our temporary home. Mm-hmm. So God also provides people, and the people he provides for our family has been from the church. And that is what the church is. It's just we're there for each other in practical ways as well as praying for one. I don't know. It's just God is faithful by providing our needs financially with other people, believers. I don't know. Yeah, it's awesome.
That's great. And so God has been faithful in the decision-making process all across the board. And his faithfulness is just truly amazing. And you can testify to that. Yeah. I love it.
The decision-making is hard. I try to kind of let Jacob lead in that when we have to make big life decisions and stuff. But it requires a lot of faith. And I feel like when you make a decision, God's either going to open those doors and make it easy for you, or he's going to make it super hard to tell you that you're going the wrong way. I think he will close doors and he will make things challenging. Or maybe, I don't know. Yeah, that's how I feel.
Okay, that's good. And I can identify with that. Making those decisions are not easy. Who likes making decisions in life? Not see. I didn't see a single hand go up. So we don't like these decisions. We joke around our household that when it comes to certain people's birthdays, when they get to choose which place they want to go to eat for dinner, you guys might do that. We know that for certain people, I'm included, it's a really hard decision. I'm a people pleaser. I want to go to the place that everybody is going to enjoy something. And Caleb is the same way. We can't make that decision. Lucas, he's got it down. He knows exactly. Andrea knows exactly where she wants to go. And because their decisions making is easy for them, maybe. I don't know. But we don't like decisions. And so you've had to make some big decisions as a family. Uprooting, going all the way down to Florida, deciding to go through officer training first, and then all the process that has to come along those lines. You return back, you join us back here at Living Hope, and we're so glad that that you are here and a part of the church. And then we come to this summer, or early parts of the summer, and you are making decisions about jumping back into teaching and everything that comes along with that, because that was what your college degree was in. So tell us a little bit about the new decisions that have had to happen and the decision, the things that kind of led up to those decisions.
Okay. Going back to teaching was always my plan once all my children were in kindergarten. I've been a stay-at-home mom for the last 10 years, but I really feel like God can use me as a PE teacher because my passion is movement. My passion is physical activity. And so the decision to go back wasn't one that I just made this year. It was just always the plan.
Okay.
But I can tell you how God was super faithful in this process. PE jobs are rare, few, far in between, because there's only like one, maybe one to four teachers per building, PE teachers. And so the job opportunities are very slim. The year that I decided to go back to school, a job opportunity came available. I had friends at the Marion Homeschool Assistance Program, two friends who told me about this job. And so just knowing people who are part of that school helped me to have knowledge of the job. And then so I jumped on it. I applied for the job. And so I just think the timing couldn't have been more perfect, that a job became available. God provided that opportunity. This person is retiring. She's going to be a wonderful mentor for me. The other thing is where I'm going to be working. I'm going to be working for the Marion Homeschool Assistance Program, and they work under the Marion District. I have a Christian boss, and with that comes Christian philosophy and morals and things that really align with my own beliefs. And so I couldn't have asked for a better place to work than that. How amazing God is to provide that. And it's also a part-time job. And so coming from being a stay-at-home mom for 10 years to part-time instead of full-time is really a blessing for me. So, lots of different ways where God just made things so perfect for this job.
That's fantastic. And was this decision, I mean, you say that this was part of the plan all along. Was that a hard decision to get to years ago, or was it kind of like, well, no, this is my training and this is where I feel like God is leading me? Was it an easy decision this time going back to work, or was there kind of like, yeah, I don't know if I want to? Talk to me a little bit about that.
I mean, there's always reluctance to work, but...
Yes, there is. There you go.
When I make big decisions, there's a lot of prayer that goes into it. When I pray, I like to write because that helps me process the best. I have notebooks full of prayers when I've had to make big decisions. And this one was the same way. I don't know what my prayer exactly was, but I know that I talked to God and I asked him to either affirm the decision or show me a different way. And he was affirming me all the way. Like, my boss, when I was in the interview, I felt, I don't know how recent any of you have interviewed, but I wasn't nervous at all. I was at peace, and I knew my friends were praying for me, and that was a really cool thing, too. But my boss who hired me affirmed me. I don't know. Everything was just so smooth and so, I mean, I think God was just with me, giving me peace along the way, and I think that's another affirming thing. When you make big life decisions, you feel at peace about it. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, lots of prayer goes into it before I make those decisions. But I don't know, Chopper, I'm not a big planner. I just go for it. Like, if that's a good question for Jacob. He probably spent a lot more time making the decisions than I did. I'm just like, let's do it. And then I jump in. So.
There's nothing wrong with that. I appreciate that. And maybe we'll get Jacob up here someday to tell the other side of this story. What do you think? Yeah. Well, I'm so thankful that you're willing to share your story. Because when we think about all of the things that you've had, you and Jacob and your family have had to plan and to organize and to make decisions about, those are things that we all can learn from in the way that we approach them. And a couple of things that you shared, excuse me, are really, they should be things that are basic for followers of Jesus. Trusting, being prayerful, being thoughtful, and being obedient. But there are times when we struggle with these things. We struggle bringing to God the things that we are wrestling with in prayer. There are times when we struggle with being obedient because we can't see what is ahead of us. And sometimes we just need to be willing to trust that God's got it all together. And I think that's a really important reminder for us that when it comes to decisions, when it comes to what God has in store for us, that it's okay to take a risk and to know that God's got it. And so I just really appreciate you sharing your story. Can we show our appreciation to Amanda? Thank you so very much. For some of us, and really for all of us, decision-making isn't easy. And what I want to ask you about is this, is what are the places that you look to when you make a decision? Where are the people? Who are the people? What are the things that you look to help make a decision? And I think that if we can answer that question with the first thing that we do is going to our knees in prayer, I think that will help along the way. Now, sometimes decisions need to be made quickly, and we need to just jump on it. And there's nothing wrong with just making a quick decision and trusting that God along the way is going to provide. There are other decisions that take months in the making, and we've all probably experienced those. But along the way, we know that we have a faithful God that is trustworthy and has our best interest in mind. I was thinking about Ruth over the course of the last week and a half to 2 weeks when Amanda and I were talking about her sharing. She had a big decision to make. Her husband was gone. Her father-in-law was gone, her brother-in-law was gone, and all that remained was a sister-in-law and her mother-in-law, Naomi. And the decision was hers, whether she would return home or should she stay? And most of our scenarios, if that was us, I think most of us would choose to not stay. But she chose to stay. She chose to go where Naomi would go, and she chose that Naomi and her God would be her God. Along those same lines, Ruth chose to return with Naomi to Israel. She chose to glean from the leftovers of the fields, and she chose to trust that Naomi knew what to do when it came to Boaz. And Naomi's hope, I think, and I believe, was a faith decision because she knew who God was. So I say all these things to remind us that when it comes to decisions, we trust that God is in control and that he will lead along the way. He will guide. He will provide. And when decisions come, and they will, learn from someone else's story, no matter what stage of life we're in. That's one of the reasons why we're sharing these stories over the last couple of weeks, so that we can all learn from them, so that we can all glean from what God has in front of us. So if you haven't caught all of these stories, I invite you to go out to our website, go out to our YouTube channel. You can also use the app. The app will be updated this week, and so you'll be able to catch all four of these stories in a row if you want to. If you are a glutton for listening to sermons and things like that, obviously these aren't sermons, they're stories, but you can catch them all there. Thank you so much for being at worship today. I look forward to what God has in store for us for the coming days, for the coming weeks, for the coming years, because God is always good. Amen? Amen. We're going to close our time together with one more song. And so we invite you to just stand up and we'll sing together. Thank you so much for being here today. Have a great day.